Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we just had Jimmy Walter, the billionaire philanthropist from Caracas, just met with the president of the assembly, been at his home, has all the 9/11 documents, knows the truth. They're going to have some kind of big truth commission down there, international trial. This weekend they're scheduled to meet with Hugo Chavez. It looks like they may be on his weekly Sunday night TV show. It's just getting bigger and bigger. So that news breaking here first, and we'll have it up in text for you on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com before this hour ends. Another amazing individual joins us. He's Ed Asner. Of course, at Mary Tyler Moore and the show Lou Grant and Roots and a bunch of other TV shows and movies. It goes on for hours. We have a link to his bio up on Infowars.com. And he's been talking for a couple years about 9/11 and the official story stinking to high heaven. This is a quick segment, but we'll go to him and come back and spend more time. Mr. Asner, it's great to have you on with us. Thanks for taking the time out.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Good to be with you.
You bet. When did you start questioning 9/11, and why are you now going even more public?
Well, I'm reticent to go that public. I like to be totally invested and involved in knowing every angle and every potential arguing point. I've not had the time to invest in that. I became suspicious of 9/11 on the day it happened, and I will always be that suspect of it and challenge it and challenge various points of it. But I certainly don't regard myself as a an expert or what you would say a revelatory on the subject.
But at the same time, you have spoken via videotape to some 9/11 truth meetings and have
That's
spoken
true.
Out in the past.
That's true. That's true. I do what I can, but I'm constantly seeking more information. That's one of the reasons I wanted to be on with you, because I found you to be a valuable fund of information on 9/11, and I applaud your efforts very much.
Well, I applaud your efforts, and I mean, I hope we can talk about it some today. And I also want to—I know you are an expert on the war. You were spot on with your analysis on the eve of it, and now, for the last three horrific years, Mr. Asner, we're talking to Ed Asner, folks, now the famous actor and producer. Mr. Asner, we know NORAD stood down. We know they'd never done it before. We know public officials were warned not to fly. We know Bush had the troops ready to invade Afghanistan on the ground. We know that bin Laden's a known CIA asset. We know that there are hundreds of points. We know firefighters said bombs were going off. We know Building 7 wasn't hit by a plane. I mean, it goes on and on. We know the official story is a fraud. I mean, you agree that the official fable of the 9/11 Commission is a fraud?
I do. I do not buy it. I challenge it. I would like to. I mean, I know all of these points that you've cited. The standing down. The main thing I am talking about, the lack of preparation for Katrina, is just another example of what was supposedly the lack of preparation for 9/11. But at least Brownie got his ass booted out of there after Katrina, although a lot of other people should have had the same done to them. But what I grieve and moan about is the fact that after 9/11, no matter how many commissions and committees they have, nobody in high office has ever paid the penalty for keeping us unprepared for 9/11. No one has made the price. And I cite the fact that in Abu Ghraib is another typical example of the way this government works.
Yes, the above the law. Stay there. Let's get into that first. I mean, that's a good way to set the table here. We know that they're claiming they're above the law on torture, spying, and then they were heroes after 9/11. Heroes for, at the bare minimum, falling flat on their faces. We'll be right back with Ed Asner. Stay with us. It goes on and on. I don't have to tell you who Ed Asner is. Most of you know. In fact, all of you, I'm sure, do. And for now several years, he's been questioning, just questioning the official story, because as he said in the last segment, we know the official story is a fraud end to end, pillar to post, up one side and down the other. And so why, when Brownie knew that New Orleans would be devastated and then it was a disaster and FEMA stood down, obviously to get more funding later, that's how sick these people are, they screw up, they get more funding, they sabotage the police, that's all admitted now, we've had the police on this broadcast, we've discussed it, at least he got fired or resigned. But with 9/11, Bush turns into some type of hero. Even if you believe the official story, he's not a hero. Payne Stewart's plane in 18 minutes has F-16s around it, but over an hour and 25 minutes on 9/11. So Ed Asner has come on with us to talk about the Iraq War, to talk about 9/11, to talk about a lot of these important issues. But in the last segment, for stations that missed it, he brought up the above-the-law situation. And Bush has said, you don't repass the Patriot Act before they did pass it, I'll still enforce it without a law. His own White House memos order the torture of small children. John Yoo gets up in front of the Council on Foreign Relations in Chicago. We have it on tape. And says, yeah, I wrote that memo. Yeah, we can torture children sexually by crushing their genitals in front of their parents. I mean, folks, you cannot make that type of stuff up. Joseph Mengele did that stuff secretly. He didn't brag about it. Bush says, I don't care if it's a felony. I'm going to spy on you, even when the FISA court's a rubber stamp. Just over and over again, he says he's above the law. And Ed Asner joins us. Ed, I mean, this whole above the law thing, he said years ago, if this was a dictatorship, it would be a heck of a lot easier, just so long as I'm the dictator. Your take on that?
Oh, that's he was being his funny self, of course, but dead serious beneath it. A typical example is George Tenet, Mr. Slam Dunk, getting the Freedom Medal for his great work on 9/11, I suppose. I thought he was farcical, and I thought he was ridiculous. Nobody was punished. And to liken it to Abu Ghraib, where torture took place, who got punished? The flunkies, the privates and the corporals and some sergeants. Nobody high knew anything about it. None of the CIA knew anything about it. Milai was yet another example. Lieutenant Kelly took the rap. And all those people who covered up for him before it got exposed, none of them had to walk the walk.
Well, with Abu Ghraib, sir, as you know, they had specific orders. I've had Janis Karpinski, the general, who wasn't even allowed to go into those CIA and contractor-controlled wings, and they tried to blame her for it.
Yeah.
But she said clearly they were creating torture cadres, and they had ordered them to torture. And then Bush says he won't even sign a bill to block torture, where he gives a signing statement. He clearly gave the orders. How do his flunkies then go to prison when he publicly gave the orders?
Exactly. They brought the guy over from Guantanamo, who evidently had specialized in knowing how to do this stuff. What was his name? General Miller. Then finally the whistle got blown. But I mean, I have been listening to you and hearing stuff I hadn't heard before. This is about children's testicles. I've never heard anything like that before.
Yeah, just type in John Yoo torturing children into Google. It'll come up.
Good God. Another one of the great charges I make. I talk about how. Can you tell me, by the way, in terms of information, how long after 9/11 was the Patriot Act passed?
September 11th was on the 11th of September, and the Patriot Act was passed on October 27th, 2001, at, I think, 12:10 in the a.m., and they were given 45 minutes to read it. It was issued to committee chairman 45 minutes before. The reason I know is I've had congressmen and women on about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if nothing is more clear-cut that the Patriot Act was all typed up and ready to slap down at an instant notice, and a month later, Congress people, like sheep, go ahead and vote for it without questioning it, and the fact that there are over 300 pages to digest, and you say they were given 45 minutes.
Now, just the chairman.
Just the chairman had it for 45 minutes?
Yeah, members of Congress, the general Congress wasn't allowed to see it.
Well, what is wrong with the American people? Can't they see a certain amount of engineering going on here? That they are being led and that the chief instrument in swaying them is fear? I think that fear theory is starting to weaken a little.
Well, I think you're right. I think something I look at is the engineering. I mean, 44,000 U.S. troops in Tajikistan and Uzbekistan, 18,000 British troops, three carrier groups that arrived 2 days before 9/11, the carrier groups, the troops were there months before, pre-positioned, special forces already put in to Afghanistan. MSNBC reported Bush had the launch order on his desk for Afghanistan 2 days before. I mean, look at the engineering right there, and then look at how they pounced on our freedoms, none of it having anything to do with terrorism after 9/11.
So I I'm in bed with you. But don't crowd me. I question authority is my single motivating motto. And there is so much authority to be questioned in this country, and nobody. Insufficient numbers of people are doing it.
Mr. Asner, do you ever feel like you've woken up in the twilight zone? Because I do every day. I mean, when Alberto Gonzalez, his chief counsel of the White House, says, says we can torture people and just call it something else, and if they die in custody, if we didn't mean to kill them, it's okay. And then John Yoo, his deputy, says we can torture small children in front of them, or Bush says I'll just enforce laws that have... I'm sure you heard a month ago he signed a budget bill that hadn't been passed. I mean, we're reaching just la-la land craziness. Do you ever just feel like it's not real?
Well, it is not real, but at the same time, my consternation, my puzzlement, my where's the rest of me, as Ronald Reagan so wonderfully said in Not How Green Was My Valley, what was that, Carrie Worthy? Picture where he had his legs cut off. That's how
yeah.
But I'm also filled with a tremendous amount of anger. I have, and I think a lot of people have this tremendous amount of anger, and they don't know how to get rid of it. And that anger is the fact that after 9/11, this country, was in such a position, had the love of the whole world going for it, the appreciation, the admiration. And George Bush, in his megalomania, has taken this country and pissed away 250 years of respect that was hard-fought and garnered throughout the world, of respect that the rest of the world had for us, and will probably never regain it. And that is where my anger is. My anger is that not only is there a total condescension to what, at that time anyway, to what the rest of the world thinks about us, there's total hubris and condescension as to what your average American thinks as long as they keep swinging their clout, as long as he says, I am above the law, I take my orders from God, I will spy on people, whether you say I'm allowed to or not. And where are the American people in all this?
Is it? I want to bring up a point here because I'm sure you're aware of the Downing Street memo. Now, the White House memo, these are public. These are leaked. The White House admits them. They're trying to arrest whoever released them. Both in England and the U.S., but the latest one came out a few months ago, confirmed. Bush says we can paint up American planes like U.N. planes,
yeah.
Try to fly them low, get Saddam to shoot them down. We can have a defector come out and claim he saw WMDs. I mean, there is smoking gun, red-handed, caught lying, fabricating. That is treason. That is sedition right there. He should be impeached right there.
Well, the trials that will be taking place in terms of guilt, in terms of this government, and in terms of the corporate masters of this government, the dockets will be filled for years to come, but we'll never be able to complete it, I don't think. I think many of the perpetrators will die before we get to them.
Well, sir, you've been around a while. You've been around the block. You've got some wisdom. I've never seen such profiteering, such war profiteering, such criminality. Congressmen stealing $800 million, running around foaming at the mouth, trillions missing from the Pentagon, and Rumsfeld gets asked about it, and he says, "I don't care. I'm not going to answer your question." I mean, it's just lawlessness.
Is there a day? Yesterday, there was more news in terms of a huge, unbelievable cost overruns by Halliburton and what's his name, the subsidiary company,
Brown and Root.
Kellogg Brown and Root. Yeah, $800 million. They cannot even begin to explain where that money went.
Stay
and
there,
how many
sir.
Times has this happened with Halliburton, and how many times? How many times do we read about it? How many times do you hear about it? And who? And then the thing got Congressman Waxman.
Stay there, sir. We got a break. Stay there. Well, actor, producer, served as president of the Screen Actors Guild for two terms. Ed Asner joins us. And Ed, back in the 80s, was fighting against all the death squads down in Latin America, killing people. Now their commander, John Negroponte, is the head of all U.S. intelligence, and Halliburton's announced they're going to build FEMA camps here in America. So later I'm going to get his take on that. But right now I'm reading off of Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia, and I was talking to Ed during break, and he said, yeah, that's definitely some of the things he's concerned about. And it says he has signed the 9/11 truth statement, calling for new investigations on disturbing questions about 9/11 events, including the failure of the U.S. intelligence to act on warnings of upcoming attacks, the breakdown of military air defense, and the nature of the investigations. He's also reviewed 9/11 literature and videos, including a recent review for the 9/11 guilt. The proof is in your hands. And he also serves as a spokesman for Racism Watch back in 2004, and he's part of Peace and Justice Leaders. He's doing a lot of stuff. And other facets of 9/11. I mean, there's so many. But I mean, it's come out in the Zacharias Moussaoui trial that one FBI agent told his superior 75 times what Moussaoui was planning and was told to shut up. And then the superiors that told them to shut up and told Rowley and Wright to shut up, they got record cash bonuses. Mr. Asner, comments?
Well, I have the same question about Sydell Edmonds, who blew the whistle on a fellow translator, saying that he had, or she, I don't even know what sex it was, had translated wrong. And it would have been contributory to exposing 9/11. And Sydell was shut up. Her testimony is not even allowed to be publicized. And for all I know, she's... this is typically what happens to whistleblowers in our country. I think she was drummed out of office and forced to seek employment elsewhere.
Well, you're right. First,
the person
they offered
she was blowing
her...
the whistle on is still there.
Well, first they offered her a bigger job and more money to shut up. She said no. Then they drummed her out, but now she said more. And what she said is that she heard transmissions of drug dealing, terrorist funding people in our government.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an old story as well. I've heard that for a number of years, and, you know, if this country ever could stop its war on this and war on that, war on drugs is one of the great flim-flams of all time, I think. If it ever stopped the war on drugs, I think the economy would collapse.
Oh, I agree with you, but look, I mean, the bigger the war on drugs gets, the more drugs we have on the streets, the more people in prison.
Exactly, exactly. And, of course, those prisons are now being used for private industry, are they not?
And Americans are competing against people for 20 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're competing against two...
Go ahead.
We're competing against 2 million people that are working right now in prison industry who on average get 20 cents an hour. I mean, forget China or Mexico taking our jobs. What about these prisoners?
That's a good reason to keep the prisons full, I'd say. It's American enterprise.
Well, you know, I've tracked back some of the big banks that are laundering the drug money, and they own some of the big private prisons. The Bushes, one of their biggest investments is private prisons. You got to love it. They bring the narcotics in, and then they put your kids in prison if they're dumb enough to use it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, just the stories on how hemp, industrial hemp, got banned in this country is I mean, the horror list goes on. I hate to sound like, you know, the little guy, Little Abner, who had the black cloud hanging over him, but it's hard to get out from under that black cloud.
Sir, we find it's positive to lance the wound. If we've got pustules all over us, we have to clean them up.
A good dose of salts would help, I suppose.
Yes, I think what you're doing is very positive. I mean, we need to talk about this.
But if it doesn't lead to people uniting, you know, that wonderful old Latin American expression, El pueblo unido jamás será vencido. The people united will never be defeated. And if we could unite our people, it would be an unbelievable achievement.
No, but you're right.
Government has always learned how to create divisions, be it race, be it religion, you name it. They know how to divide us, be it money.
Stay there. I want to get more into 9/11 with you, with us for the balance of the hour, very graciously spending time with us, Ed Asner, Hollywood legend, and we will come back to him. And we'll get into a bunch of other questions about 9/11, the Iraq War, where he sees things going, because I've read some of his, you know, things he said long before the war, and he's been on target. Stay with us. Monday through Friday, 11 to 2 Central Standard Time, back from 9 to midnight. We're joined by Ed Asner. Ed, I've got really three major questions for you on 9/11. I want to get your view of the so-called 9/11 Whitewash Commission. I want to get your take also on what you think of Charlie Sheen going public, and there's a lot of other people that are planning to go public as well, very prominent, you know, at the same level or even, bigger than he is, that are planning to go public. I have some big musicians I've confirmed. In fact, one of the most beloved and most popular in the world right now, we've confirmed all of that going on. But first, the commission, and then I want to go over a few other 9/11 issues. But first off, what do you think of what the 9/11 commission did? I mean, they don't mention Building 7, a bunch of things. They say there were no steel columns in Tower 1 or 2 in the center of the building. I mean, they just lie.
I totally disagree with the commission's report. I think it was a whitewash. I find it interesting that the man who was placed against opposition in charge of the commission, Zelikow, has just recently been appointed to a high post in government by the administration. So I think one hand caresses the other. And you and I can go on talking day in, day out, presenting chapter and verse, but none of it means anything unless there can be a rising chorus of American citizens who demand that an appropriate commission be set up. And the only way I imagine they can do that is to affect Congress. Maybe that'll be after the November elections. You can get a Democratic majority in there, but I'm not sure you can trust the Democrats to do it. But it's about the only means feasible, I think, to try to effectuate a new commission that will go over with a fine lens and a fine-tooth comb what this commission certainly did not handle.
Congressman Ron Paul, who's a Republican from Texas, he believes the Democrats are going to win control of the Congress, and he believes they will impeach Bush, but not on the big issues, just as a political football, and that they'll continue with business as usual because they're owned by the same international corporate interest.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth in that, and I think that I would call upon, I generally have voted as a Democrat, and there are Democrats who I believe are pure as the driven snow, and I have generally not found any Republicans of that nature. But I would certainly support every and all exposure and effort to pursue the Democrats so that it is not business as usual. Granted, whoever takes over this country from November 06 on is going to be pulling their hair as just how to pay the bills.
Jimmy Walters, the philanthropist, and one of the survivors, William Rodriguez, are in Caracas. They just met several dinners and at the home of the president of the assembly, who knows 9/11 was an inside job. The home is filled with books and 9/11 videos, and he's getting him a meeting this weekend, maybe even on live TV, with Hugo Chavez. And Chavez, according to them, knows that 9/11 is an inside job. They're talking about having an international commission with Andres von Bülow, the German defense minister, who's gone public saying it's an inside job. They're talking about having that there in Caracas. Does that sound good?
I think anything that could lead to exposure, which we don't have, is good. Anything to make up for the lack of effectiveness of that commission. My disbelief was fostered a long time ago when the election itself was challenged, when the Supreme Court, in my opinion, gave an unfair, unjust opinion that allowed the Florida vote to go on, and George Bush entered office against the popular will. Once he entered office, I did nothing but shake my head in amazement at how he hit the ground running. That programs, tax cuts, everything was instituted. There was a plan, just as we spoke earlier of the Patriot Act, being 300 and some pages, ready to institute a month after 9/11. George Bush's plan for government and reducing government was phenomenal, and I think.
But he's not really the government has grown. He has spent more money, according to top economists, conservative economists, than all presidents combined. We are now $80 trillion in debt. You know, right now it's $9 trillion due this week, but what we've signed on to is 87 trillion to be precise. In fact, that's my next question. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, the father of Reaganomics, now believes that the evidence points towards 9/11 being an inside job. He said that. Ray McGovern, chief CIA briefer for Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr., has said the same thing. He believes the mosque bombing was a Western op. We now have Michael Meacher, number three in the Blair government, resigning and saying similar things. We have Morgan Reynolds, chief economist for the current Bush administration, who resigned over all the stuff, who left and says it is an inside job, says they did it. I mean, a physics professor is going public. The underwriting laboratories, Kevin Ryan. Can you speak specifically to all these highly respected, mainly conservatives, going public saying it's an inside job?
Well, no, I haven't heard anyone with the courage to say it so far. And I'm amazed to hear that that all of these people have come forward and I still, I would be fearful for my family to say it. I credit these people with guts to be able to say it.
Well, that's the thing is
I fear what will happen to them.
Well, we put audio files of them up, we've interviewed them live. We've written articles about it, and then mainstream media will not report on it. Don't you think it's newsworthy that all these former and current people out of the administration are going public and saying this? And isn't that a story in itself, Mr. Asner, that there's been a blackout on that?
Well, what was it, the mainstream media, totally responsible for bolstering everything that Bush did? All the way through to the invasion of Iraq, when finally even the New York Times turned around and began to change its tune and apologize for some of its reporters, Judith Miller being probably the most egregious one.
Well, that raises my next point. That raises my next point, Mr. Asner. $1.6 billion in the last 2 years spent on, quote, fake news. That's an L.A. Times headline. Fake
billion?
News.
You say billion?
Yes, $1.6 billion spent to pay off reporters. I just type it into Google. All these fake reporters planning stories, lying. I mean, what is that?
Well, Alex, This is the home of the brave, the land of the free. But unless you test it constantly and don't accept, you've got to question it all the time. I was just on an interview program with Bob Dumas a couple of days ago. He's a Korean War vet who for 50 years has fought to get acknowledgement and revelation by this country of the 8,000 missing in action Korean prisoners, American prisoners. His brother is one of them, and he has given his life to fighting for this. And but you know, the list goes on. He deserves the Frieda Medal, not George Tenet. Nobody knows about Bob Dumas. And his either his son or his nephew has made a video, DVD on this subject and on how Congress and various important members of Congress, and I would say Senator McCain and Senator Kerry being the two leading ones, have stopped the investigations going forth on this government pushing forward to try to achieve some understanding with North Korea in freeing or at least disclosing what happened to these 8,000 people.
Well, yes, sir. I mean, as you know, you're informed on this subject and so many others. They are trying to get POWs back. 20,000 plus U.S. troops were in Nazi camps and were just given to the Russians, and our government didn't do a thing. World War II, same thing Korea, same thing Vietnam. Now with the depleted uranium, I mean, depleted uranium, tripling the birth defects, now quadrupling them. I mean, what does this say about the nature of the people running this government that they don't even care?
And 1984 is, it's come around through the back door. It's a hell of a good way to reduce population by this spreading of depleted uranium. God knows.
Their population control agenda. In fact, I've read that you're very informed about the dangers of the vaccines.
Yes, I have been campaigning and against the pharmaceutical companies for the inclusion of thimerosal. Thank God, California passed a law which is could be used in all the states because of the inclusion of thimerosal in the triple shots given, and it's still included in most of the flu shots. I'm not up to speed on that, but. The incidence in cases of autism have skyrocketed with the inclusion of this mercury additive that was added about the time that children's autism began to spike up.
Yeah, it went from 1 in 25,000 26 years ago to 1 in 168. I mean, here's an article here out of the Australian. Child drugs linked to heart attack. Thousands of children, just in Australia, 400 in a year, but over here it's thousands, have died. Five-year-olds are having heart attacks because they're giving them speed. They're giving them methamphetamine.
Under the guise of what? I mean, the thimerosal, the mercury is bad enough.
But sure, I was mentioning ADHD. You've got attention deficit disorder, and you need some... And then their little hearts explode. Let me bring up Charlie Sheen, sir. What do you think of the courage of Charlie Sheen going public? I mean, do you think he has courage? I mean, your take on that.
No, there's no doubt about it. Of course he has courage. And I'm delighted that he is the star of a top-rated show and has a platform that will draw attention, and that the present-day Charlie Sheen is seen as a caring, law-abiding citizen coming from a most distinguished acting family. And I couldn't be happier.
Do you have any words for Charlie? Because I guarantee you he'll be listening to this interview if he isn't listening to it right now in his trailer.
Well, I'm delighted that that Charlie got on to CNN through your show, Alex, because I was slated to go on with the Green candidate for Senate in New York, and they canceled us at the last minute because they said the guy that they had who was going to appear against us, I didn't know, you know, I didn't know that you always had to have somebody speaking in opposition to you when you appeared on a show. I'm looking for the person you're going to introduce in opposition to me, Alex, because they act like it's a law.
Well, that's not true. Whenever they're pushing their lies on Fox or something, they'll have everybody on their side.
And this is what CNN did the other day, because supposedly the person they were going to have on opposite us was from the commission itself. And at the last minute, that was canceled. So this is one very good way of creating blackout on 9/11 or whatever else government and corporate establishment wants to.
Well, sir, I got an email from Sandra Hicks, who was going to be appearing with you, as you know, and he said in the email that it was too hot to handle, and that basically CNN was told, why are you covering this? I called CNN, talked to two separate producers, and they said, we're getting huge ratings. We all know the truth. We're getting thousands of emails a day. 50-plus thousand people voted. We've never had a response like this. We got a call from higher up to, quote, kill it.
They actually told you that?
Yes, they got a, yes. But she said, don't say my name.
I know.
Don't say my name.
I know. Well, so there you have it. There you have it. CNN, supposedly one of the last refuges of truth, as opposed to Fox and some of the other corporate-sponsored networks. And there you have
it. By the way, I was supposed to be on Fox that day live, and they canceled.
Did they? And you were going to talk on 9/11?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I mean, I'll tell you how this works. A producer thinks it's real news and normally has the power to do it, and they say 100% you're on, and then they get a call and are told it's over, you're not doing it.
Oh, I know. I know. It's I'm used to cancellations, if you'll recall. Lou Grant was canceled that way. So it happens. Stuff happens is our defense secretary said. Stuff happens. And it will continue to happen unless we can marshal up a sufficient form of organization to say never again or no more.
Do you think they'll try to retaliate against Sheen through the corporate structure?
Oh, I doubt it. I doubt it very much. First of all, we're on a crest right now, a crest that even Republicans are participating in. And it would be, first of all, I have to lament the fact that Charlie's outspokenness on the subject is so unusual and so rare that he's standing out there right now, and if anything were done to him, and if anything is done to him, it won't be done to him now. It'll take time. But right now, they wouldn't dare touch him.
Absolutely. Well, I think a lot of people in the structure itself agree with Charlie.
Of course. Many of you. But I will tell you something even more important. That the vast majority are afraid to even discuss it, which is why it became such a hot topic, the revelation of his interview on your show on CNN, which is a third party removed. But look at the attention it attracted, and it attracted that because people are afraid to discuss it.
You're absolutely right. I've talked to so many big Hollywood people that know, Ed, but they're afraid to speak up.
Sure.
Well, I commend your courage, sir. Final segment coming up, 5 minutes left on the other side with Ed Asner, the legendary Hollywood actor, producer, and president of the Screen Actors Guild. Stay with us. Last 55 minutes with Ed Asner. And here in closing, sir, I want to give you a minute or two to, you know, finish up anything you'd like to impart to us. It's been great having you on. You're a real humanitarian, fighting vaccines, fighting for POWs, you know, not just the caricature the neocon press has tried to put out about you. We have official documents like Operation Northwoods, where the U.S. government wanted to hijack jets and crash them and blame it on foreign countries for war. We have the Gulf of Tonkin, the staged event. We have all these other past examples of this happening. Hitler firebombing his own Reichstag as a pretext to set up his fatherland security, Reich security. I don't know if you're aware of those incidents, but I wanted to get your take on that.
Well, I think the Tonkin Gulf incident in the Vietnam War has already been proven to be one of those incidents. I think Pearl Harbor itself is thought to be one of those incidents. I think the battleship Maine is one of those incidents. I think the cruise ship, the ocean liner Lusitania, which was carrying arms, and they were warned not to, or people were warned not to sail on it. I think it was 1915. And U-boats sunk it, and many rich Americans died on it. That helped Woodrow Wilson take us into that war. It's very easy to think of 9/11 as being yet another cause for being able to generate war in this country.
Well, PNAC said that. I mean, the PNAC documents, they say we need Pearl Harbor events. We need helpful Pearl Harbor events.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, is PNAC not the blueprint?
And, you know, I hate to belabor the American people, but when are they going to begin to question why every time that this country, I mean, Eisenhower warned against it with the military-industrial complex, but we seem to have a penchant for every 20 years or so needing to get into some very heavy military involvement.
Addicted to war. Who has the motive for 9/11? I mean, who's really gained from 9/11? I mean, I know you can answer that. Who has gained from 9/11? Only one group in the world has really gained from it.
You want me to answer that?
Yes, sir.
Well, certainly the military has. It's been a phenomenal Halliburton and Root, Mr. Cheney's old outfit. They've certainly done a phenomenal job of. There certainly aren't a lot of American soldiers over there. We've only got 140,000 who are getting their ass shot off. I don't think that they're able to indulge in money making. So who else? The oil companies, of course, have known record highs since this conflict and even before. So did I leave
the White House? The White House and its interest.
Well, the White House, of course, is involved with oil and the military, and always has been.
Final question, sir. Do you think we're in danger of another staged attack in this country?
Well, isn't it interesting that the first one succeeded so well? You'd think that with I don't think the Patriot Act and Homeland Security have certainly sealed us up to such a point that another act like that, they don't have to have another attack. If they indeed launched the first one, they have screwed up our country so badly, they could just let us sink in upon ourselves. I don't, you also didn't bring up the fact that many of the purported hijackers are living persons elsewhere. Have you talked about that at any length?
Oh, that's BBC, Mr. Asner. We got to get you back soon. Thank you for spending time with us.
Thank you, Alex.
God bless.